1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, and I want you to listen all next week for your chance to win tickets to see me do a special live broadcast at the Museum of Television and Radio, which will be on Thursday, November the 2nd. We'll be broadcasting our normal time, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific. Your key to win will be a daily password. I'll announce each day's password and a fax number for you to enter to win. Now, when you hear me announce the day's password, you fax in your name, your home telephone number, and the special password. And then winners are going to be randomly selected each day beginning next week. So listen all next week for your chance to see my show live there at the Museum of Television and Radio in Beverly Hills. And, of course, transportation to the Museum of Television and Radio in Beverly Hills is on you. All right, so in an hour, we're going to have a debate, and we're going to feature today part 9 in our 15-part series, The Road to the White House. And what we have done is gone to our newsmaker line to talk with just people, people who are out there, people who may be active in the campaign, people who might be just voters. We have with us Clara Bingham. She's a precinct worker. For the Democratic Party in the San Diego area. She's also a part-time elementary school teacher and a mother. And Clara, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Phil.
All right. How do you see these debates?
Well, I think that these debates are important to our process. And I think that it's good for the voters to see Vice President Gore and Governor Bush debating the issues, and I think that as a result of that, they can make up their minds.
Well, let me ask you right out, because this is the popular question is, who do you think's going to win?
Well, I hope Gore.
Obviously you want the vice president to win, but who do you think is going to win?
Well, I hope Gore, but the Republicans now know that they have to pull out all the stops. I think they lost the first debate, and they know they have to get down and dirty because the Republicans are getting desperate, and I think desperate times call for desperate measures.
You think the Republicans know they lost the first debate?
I think so, yes.
Well, what do they have in their arsenal of weaponry? They have an attractive candidate. They have, I think what I was reading here is that they have a candidate who is was seen sympathetically because they thought Gore was too arrogant, right?
Well, yes, they also have something else, though. They have an attractive candidate, and they have, Mr. Henry, they have that impression of George Bush, but they have something else. And as far-fetched as it may sound, you can sit in any organizing meeting of the Democratic Party and hear the same thing, that George Bush, as the governor of Texas, holds a lot of power. And there, he has a lot of power, obviously. So Vice President Gore is going to be campaigning through Texas soon. And I think something has to be said here, Mr. Henry, that technically, the minute Al Gore sets foot in Texas, George Bush could have him arrested.
Arrested for what?
Well, it doesn't matter. They could trump something up. But George Bush is now a candidate under siege. And as far-fetched as it sounds, he does have the power. And
he would have... Al Gore arrested?
Because he does have that power.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Well, it probably won't happen. But it is something that Bush and the Republicans have in their favor. And if you look at 1972, there was a little thing that the Republican Party did, and we all know about it. And
no, you're talking about Bush because he's governor of the state of Texas. Could have Al Gore arrested when Vice President Gore is going through the state?
Because he has the power to do that. As the governor of the state of Texas, he could have Vice President Gore arrested and incarcerated for a period no more than 72 hours while they get bail money up.
And well, he's not going to have him arrested if there's no charge, you know.
Well, Phil, again, I have to point out that the Republicans have been known for their dirty tricks, and I'm going to say to you, back in 1972, I don't know how old you are, but
I'm 48.
All right, in 1972, there's a little thing the Republicans did. What do you think that was? I'm gonna give you a...
You're gonna quiz me?
I'm gonna quiz you. What was that in 1972? What did they do?
What did they do in 1972?
The Republicans. They did something in 1972.
I don't know, ma'am. They elected Nixon to a second term?
No. In 1972, there was something called
In 1972,
the Republicans, with their dirty tricks, did what comes out of a faucet?
Cold or hot water?
No, but boil it down. What comes if you boil that down? What comes out of a faucet?
If you boil it down, steam. I don't. What is it,
Mr. Henry? What was it? In 1970,
I heard what you asked me. In 1972, the Republicans did what?
Did the
Watusi.
I think that is racist. And I,
ma'am, I'm not. Well, you say wa.
What was it in 1972? The Republican Party. What did they do in 1972?
They elected.
It was the wa. What was it?
Wawa. Like a,
okay, Barbara Wallace. You know who Barbara Wallace is?
Yeah.
How does she say that liquid, the liquid that comes out of a faucet, how does she say that?
She says Wawa.
Right. So what is that really?
I don't know. You're just telling me she says Wawa. Look, you better get this guest.
You don't have to get me nothing because I'm...
You better get this guest straightened out. I don't want to sit here and argue with you. Tell me what happened in 1972.
Get to be the dumbest white man I have ever heard in my life. And
ma'am, I don't need to be insulted.
I'm asking you about a major event in 1972. The wah, what was it?
The wah? I don't know what the wah. The wah-wah pedal. Eric Clapton used that on...
No, you are the dumbest white man I have ever... The Republican Party had the blank conspiracy. The burglary. You remember when they burgled?
When they burgled, they had a burglary.
The Republican Party had a burglary, right.
They had a burglary. I got it.
What?
Daniel Ellsberg's office, they broke in, and...
No, the other burglary that the Republican Party had...
Ma'am, you're going to have to tell me... Oh, what are you saying, Mike? Oh, it's Watergate.
That's right, Watergate.
I'm sorry, he was writing something down. You wrote down Watusi or something.
It wasn't Watusi. They didn't have the Watusi burglary. They had the Watergate burglary.
And all right, I'm sorry. So the point is what?
The point... I'm worn out.
Okay, you need to get a...
Let me get a drink of water.
All right, we're talking with Clara Bingham. I apologize, folks. I don't know what she was trying to get at. She is with the Republican Party, or the Democratic Party, on who she thinks is going to win the debate tonight. She said that George Bush technically... why would George... Ms. Bingham?
Yes. Yeah.
Why would George Bush have...
Oh, you are something else.
All right. Have you got your water?
Hold on. I'm in a 7-Eleven right now. I'm getting myself a slush.
Yeah, I can hear the door going off.
What's your question?
Why would George Bush arrest Al Gore?
Because they're getting desperate. Because George Bush knows that Al Gore is a better debater than him. And I'm saying they would pull out all the dirty tricks to try to get Al Gore... arrested. And if he did arrest Al Gore, he is the killingest of all governors. So if Vice President Gore was ever on death row, George Bush would not commute that sentence, you see. So
if Al Gore was ever on death row, I think that you're making a lot of leaps of faith here.
But I think you have to consider all of these things, Mr. Henry. If you don't consider all these things, then you have the problem of the dirty trick.
Okay, well, so far what you've told me, Ms. Bingham, is that you think that Al Gore could be arrested once he gets into Texas because George Bush is the governor, and George Bush would arrest Al Gore because...
I'm not saying it would happen for sure.
No, I know, but theoretically you're saying it could happen because George Bush doesn't want to lose this election, so he'll just have the vice president arrested.
I'm saying they have that in their arsenal.
They have that in their arsenal. All right, let's take a break here. 1-800-449-8686.
Again, I'm not saying it will happen.
But it seems very far-fetched. And
it is not far-fetched when you look at Watergate and what the Republicans have done.
All right. I don't know. I still say that once Gore goes to Texas, Bush having him arrested. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. We're talking to Clara Bingham. She's a precinct worker for the Democratic Party. And who she thinks is going to win this debate tonight. She thinks that Gore should win the debate. But with Bush getting so desperate to win, Bush could technically have Gore arrested because he's the governor of Texas. You got to have a charge. I said that to her. She said he could trump something up. Now, she's going all the way back to 1972 that the Republicans pulled Watergate. They would actually try and have Gore arrested and put on death row. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about the debates tonight with a precinct worker for the Democratic Party, and she's also a mother and a part-time elementary school teacher. Her name is Clara Bingham. And Clara, where do you live?
Yes, so I live in Bellflower.
Bellflower, California?
Yes.
All right. You believe that Al Gore should win the debate?
I think that he is an intelligent man. I think he took the measure of George Bush in the last debate, yes. But what I'm saying is that the Republican Party will stoop. They will stop at nothing.
And all right, we had somebody comment off the air that the Republicans didn't do that. When you talk about Watergate, Richard Nixon did that. And just because, and even if the Republicans did do Watergate, it doesn't mean they're going to try to have Al Gore arrested when he gets to Texas.
Well, I don't know that for sure. I think the Republicans will try anything. And I think the strongest card they have in their deck right now is that George W. Bush is a governor. He is the governor of the state of Texas. Al Gore has to go to Texas to campaign. And once he sets foot in Texas, they arrest him, put him in a county jail, and they could put him on Walk the Green Mile, a dead man walking.
So that Walking the Green Mile and dead man walking, you're talking about the death penalty.
I am saying that they could put the man on death row.
And well, as the governor, he could commit. I don't know. That sounds really far-fetched.
I thought Watergate was far-fetched until I saw them pull that off.
That's a long time ago, and a lot of people...
It may be a long time ago, but the Republicans did it.
Well, some people say it was Nixon's caper. Here's San Antonio on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. This is Texas. Hello.
Hey, this is Jim Ryle down in San Antonio.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
First of all, I'm doing great.
Okay. I'm good. Thank you.
This is the state I'm talking about.
Yeah, let the man say what he has to say. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, first of all, there's no way in the world that we'd arrest Gore when he comes to Texas. They would have to be a legitimate charge. Wait a minute. Let me talk.
The governor of the state would arrest Gore, not you.
Hey, he's my governor, therefore it's me.
Well, the governor, I'm sure, doesn't do everything you agree with.
No, he doesn't.
All right.
But I tell you what, he does a heck of a lot more than I agree with Gore.
Well, I will tell you this. You can't stop him once he sets his mind on it.
Let the guy finish what he was going to say.
Well, first of all, we have the courts down here in Texas. You know, it's not like the shoot 'em up like it used to be back in 1800.
That's right.
Okay, first of all, someone's going to have to charge him for some charge before him to be arrested.
You can hold him over for questioning.
Our Texas Rangers are pretty good, but
you can hold him
more than enough Secret Service men around him. How in the world are we going to arrest him?
You could say you are in the state of Texas. We have a warrant for your arrest. Secret Service cannot impede a lawful arrest.
Well,
that would be resisting arrest.
Can go anywhere in the world.
That would be resisting arrest. And there are only so many Secret Service agents.
Well, let me ask you this.
You have the Texas Department of Public Safety and the Texas Rangers, and they would say you are under arrest.
What charge?
The charge could be...
Yeah, this is interesting. What charge could it be?
Well, they could think of something, I'm sure.
Wait a minute.
Outstanding traffic warrant. Outstanding traffic warrant. Traffic warrant, that's right.
Okay, that would have to be on the books. We would have to actually have a warrant for his arrest, and I don't think that's true.
You don't think all Bush has to do is slip some extra cash
to
some ranger and a judge?
He cannot do that.
He'd
be breaking the law if he's slipping cash to a ranger and a judge. You're saying legitimately he could have Al Gore arrested.
That's an insult to the Texas Rangers, ma'am.
Well, I don't know. I know a lot of them are on the take. Not all of them. What about the man who wore the mask? The Lone Ranger. Right?
Well, he's an Arizona Ranger, ma'am.
Why'd they call him a Lone Ranger?
He was an Arizona Ranger.
I didn't look into it that deep. But he was a Lone Ranger because nobody wanted to be with him.
He was a Lone Ranger because all the rest of the Rangers were killed in the ambush by Indians. If you want to talk about the Lone Ranger, ma'am, you need to get your back straight.
It's called the Lone Ranger, not the Long Ranger.
Lone. L-O-N-E.
L-O-A-N?
L-O-N-E.
Not L-O-A-N, the Lone Ranger. I don't even know what the hell it's called.
Lone Ranger. So all I'm saying is he was a Lone Ranger because he wasn't on the take.
No, the man's telling you the true story. He was in Arizona. Why are we talking about the Lone Ranger? We're talking about the debate.
Look, all I'm saying is it is far-fetched. I realize it probably won't happen, but George Bush could put Vice President Gore on death row and be a dead man walking.
No, he can't.
Be a dead man walking.
I'll tell you what. All right. You've been dreaming, lady.
No, I lived through Watergate. I don't know about you.
Hey, I'm 54 years old,
right,
man.
So
I lived through a lot.
He was there, too. All right, sir, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686 is the number on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk to Clara Bingham. She's a Democratic precinct worker, and she is fearful that once Al Gore goes to Texas to campaign there, George Bush will have him arrested. And I you said an outstanding...
They can trump up any charge.
You said an outstanding traffic warrant.
It could be an outstanding traffic warrant. They could have, they could arrest him for anything, you know, as long as they've got the paperwork on that. Expired tags.
Expired? You don't get arrested for that.
Ms. Henry, you were on your program one day talking about getting a citation for drinking on the beach. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. I'm not proud of it, but I got a misdemeanor.
A misdemeanor. If you did not show up for court on that, they could put you in jail.
Yeah, they could put me in jail.
Why couldn't Vice President Gore be put in jail for drinking on the beach?
And because I don't know if the guy has had a drink on the beach, and if he did, you know...
Not using a turn signal when making a left turn?
All of those things are traffic infractions. You can't go to jail for any of them, unless they go to warrant.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
All right. Norfolk on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
My comment is this. If the Republican Party were to pull something like this, it would be like the biggest conspiracy ever conceived in American history.
No, it's not a conspiracy. I would say that they do it right out in the open.
Could you imagine the charges that would be brought on Bush for false pretenses on arresting somebody?
What the charges be? He's the governor of the state of Texas.
It doesn't matter. The governor of the Texas cannot sit there and say, okay, he stepped foot in my state, so now I can arrest him for doing that.
If he has a charge.
But the charge...
You're going to have to come up with some legitimate charge.
Yeah, you're going to have to come up with a legitimate charge, and you just can't make something up. Could you imagine the charges that would be brought on Bush if he just did false charges on somebody?
What about that whole... Mr. Henry, you didn't even remember the name of Watergate.
All right, it slipped my mind.
All right, but that shows how dumb you are. And I don't mean to be...
That's very cruel.
I don't mean to be cruel, but that you have got to be the dumbest white man I ever heard who doesn't know about Watergate. What about tax evasion? All them people are involved in tax evasion. All of them.
All of them.
All of them. Spiro Agnew, all them.
All right, well, if they've got a legitimate charge and they want to arrest the Vice President of the United States, I guess they have every right in the world to do that, but I don't know whether they have a legitimate charge to do that. And I'd appreciate if you'd stop calling me the dumbest white man that you ever met, okay? Clara, are you there? Oh, okay, we just lost our caller, too. We lost our guest. We've lost it all. We've lost the show. 1-800-449-8686. Well, let me just say this to, your face if you're listening out there, Clara. I don't like being called the dumbest white man that you ever met in your life. I didn't remember the name Watergate. I'm sorry. And just because the Republicans or Richard Nixon or both pulled Watergate doesn't mean that they would be boneheaded enough to put George Bush up to arresting Al Gore once he gets into the state of Texas. Now, I'm asking you, what possible charge... Are you there?
I'm right here, sir. Yes. I'm sorry, I dropped the phone.
You dropped the phone. That's all right. What possible charge could they arrest Al Gore for? What could they arrest him for?
I don't know, Phil. Lying or something. But what I'm trying to say is there's only one white man dumber than you, and that's Gore if he goes to Texas.
All right. I don't need that anymore, and you can tell her that if she keeps that up, she's off. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. I don't know if you've been listening to this last half hour, but this lady thinks that George Bush could have Al Gore arrested. You know, that's like a military coup if he goes into Texas. And she also said that he's the killingest governor of all, which means he puts a lot of guys to death. She's got Al Gore sitting on death row, dead man walking, and you just heard that. Now, as nutty as the political system is in this country, I don't think it's possible, but we'll continue talking to Clara Bingham. And I also believe that it's probably an indication of the kind of paranoia that's going on in this country with regard to the political process. 1-800-449-8686. That's the number of the Phil Hendry Show here. 1-800-449-8686. And those debates are coming up in just a few minutes. Clara Bingham, Democratic Party precinct worker, is on the line with us. You have not come up with one charge that Al Gore could be charged with and be arrested if he walked into the state of Texas by George Bush, thus ensuring a presidential victory.
What about shoplifting or prostitution?
What do you mean prostitution?
I'm saying you can be technically charged and thrown in jail for a library book or shoplifting. And all they have to do is plant a Jolly Rancher or a bag of Skittles or something like that on him. And
so they're going to plant Skittles on the guy and bust him for shoplifting.
I am saying, Mr. Henry, that the Republican Party, the same party that pulled Watergate, can do the same thing to Al Gore, and he'd be dead man walking.
This dead man walking thing, man. You know, we've all seen too many movies, dead man walking. He ain't going to death row for being charged with Kipe and Jolly freaking ranchers, whatever it is that you're saying.
And I would appreciate also if you would watch your tone of voice with me. And
ma'am, I'm awfully sorry, but you're coming up with some, even if I wanted to believe that he could be busted, I don't know that he could be busted for the things you're saying. Let's go to a phone call. Fort Wayne on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, how you doing?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Yes. I had a comment for Miss Brigham, Briggs.
Clara Bingham?
Yeah, Bingham.
Yes, hello.
My fault, ma'am. I'm African-American, too, and, you know, what you're saying, I haven't really heard any facts that proves what you're saying.
First of all, as the governor of Texas, he can swear out a warrant for anyone's arrest.
Okay.
But he has to have a...
Excuse me, Mr. Henry. I'm talking to young brother right now about this. He has to have a warrant for someone's arrest. And as the governor of Texas, he can swear that out. All right.
Okay. I have
now, before we're going to... Who's that white man putting words in your mouth in the background?
Oh, no, actually, I'm speaking on my own, but I have a question.
You got a white man in the background?
Yes, but...
You do? You have a white man putting words in your mouth?
No, I don't. I speak for myself.
Let me ask a better question. Is that a friend of yours that's talking to you, sir?
Yes.
So why do you say, is that a white man putting words...
I don't want the brother saying anything that isn't his own mind.
Well, can I say something, please?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. If the Republicans can do all this to the Democrats, then wouldn't it work both ways? Aren't they both, like, almost equal powers?
Yeah, but Al Gore...
So it's a lot of underhanded stuff that the Democrats do, too, that doesn't come to light either.
Yes, that's true.
So it works both ways.
But you have to understand what the Democratic Party has done for our people. The Democratic Party was there for black people when the Republican Party wanted to have us all hanging from trees. Now, Al Gore could be arrested for possessing a firearm or shooting heroin.
I mean, why does it have to be a black and white thing?
Well,
why can't it just be an American thing?
Well, I'm just trying to say you're very young, and I was down on I was on the block, you know, when the man would hassle us and everything. And I'm just trying to get some sleep. So I'd go in and play some pinball and wait for everything to cool down. And
I don't know what she's talking about now.
Hold on. Down on 103rd and Avalon in South Central L.A.
Yeah.
Where are you at?
I'm in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I know there are a lot of brothers in Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
You know. And you know how the man...
What are you talking about here, okay? What do you mean smoking dope and possessing a firearm and playing pinball and being on the block?
I'm talking to the brother. About,
well, like, talk to the rest of us, okay? Can this be a conversation that...
You in Fort Wayne?
Yes.
I didn't know there were black people in Indiana.
You say what?
You say that there are black folks in Indiana?
Yes.
I thought they all are like farmers and everything.
Oh, come on.
Look,
no.
They can feed him.
See, that's a common mistake. You know, I'm not originally from Fort Wayne, though. I'm from Oklahoma City.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir, but I want you, Ms. Bingham, to give me one good, bustable offense that Al Gore could commit.
All right, I will tell you.
Go ahead.
Poppy seed muffins. If he is fed enough of those for breakfast and then takes a pee test, they can bust him for heroin use.
But, I mean, who's going to bust him? Who's going to test him? Who decides that all of a sudden, well, we think he's taking
George
drugs,
Bush.
But we're going to test him?
George Bush could say, he had poppy seed muffin, now's our chance.
I mean, George Bush has power, but...
Look at that, Al Gore, you know, I think he ought to be drug tested.
Yeah, well, if George Bush said Al Gore ought to be drug tested, why would he? What would he base that on?
He'd say, I got a stinking hunch that man's he's no good. He's dirty, you know. And then Al Gore eats too many poppy seed muffin, they test for heroin, there you go.
But it works both ways.
It does work both ways, and both parties could be equally culpable. Thank you for your call, sir. Here is Lancaster, Pennsylvania on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a point. Isn't the vice presidency a higher office than the governorship? Why?
No, only for federal crime.
That Clinton
only
and
for
Gore
federal
have?
Crime.
Why
only,
would
only
Gore
for
pull
lady,
like
lady,
that
lady,
than
lady,
Bush,
lady, lady, be quiet.
Nice man.
Lady, be quiet for a minute, okay? First of all, Ms. Bingham, you were going to say that federal, right? Federal level?
Yeah, he can only be arrested for federal crime by the president. The the governor can arrest you for a state crime.
You don't
all right, because I don't want people
Clinton
who are...
Put him up to that? I mean, look at the record of this presidency. And Gore has to go along with some of the stuff that has gone on in that presidency. You can't tell
me
that
he has because the Democrats never did Watergate, you see. The Republicans did Watergate. And so the Republicans
that's not
have
near
a history
what has gone
of
on
breaking,
in this presidency.
The Republicans
Watergate
have a history.
Was years ago.
Well, Watergate was much, much more serious crimes, though. Watergate was violating, you know, people's offices, busting in to people's homes. You know, it was much more serious than some guy having a dalliance with an intern.
You tell it, Mr. Henry. You're a Democrat, aren't you?
I'm a Democrat. It doesn't make any difference what I am. The point is, and thanks for your call, the point is that this guy has got to have a... What do you mean eating too many poppy seed muffins?
He come up dirty.
Yeah, he'll come up dirty. He's a smack user because he's got poppy seed in his blood. Los Angeles on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I'd like to say that I think if Governor Bush gets Vice President Gore arrested, it's going to be the most...
Okay, these people are all asleep. Listen, Ms. Bingham, thank you very much for your idiotic phone call. He's going to have him busted for eating too many poppy seeds. Next time I want a Democratic precinct worker, could you get me one? Not, you know, somebody who's just out of the nut bin. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, I was just yelling at my staff. I always do that. And fortunately, they're very resilient people. And they know that deep down, I'm still just a piece of crap. Deep down, when you just brush away all the rough edges about Phil Hendry, I'm still a tough guy to work with. Just wipe away all the rough edges, all of the mean things that I say. And when you get right down to it, I'm a mean guy! Ah! I am an exacting taskmaster! And that's what's going to give me a major heart attack before my 50th birthday, and they'll be dragging me out of here ashen-faced with a sheet over my head. And Mike and Craig and Melissa will all look down at the cold corpse in front of them. They'll say, well, I figured it happened that way. Okay, who's buying beers? Because I am just, I'm tough to live with. It's like... It's like my wife asking me about vacation. Maria's always asking me about vacation. When are you getting your vacation? How much vacation do you have this year? When are you getting time off? What day? You know, we can take a week and take the kids here. We can take a week. I go, would you please stop already with vacation? Because every year it's the same thing. Honey, I don't know when I can take vacation. I know I have a certain number of weeks a year that I can take vacation, and I don't know when I'm going to take vacation. We have four rating periods a year. We have all the seasons of the year. Those are also rating periods. There's spring, there's summer, there's fall, there's winter. And each of those periods has a specific time frame in which radio stations and radio shows are rated. You've heard of television sweeps? Well, we have our own kind of sweeps. Only these aren't exactly sweeps. This is more like a long, slow, agonizing drag across a sharp-edged glacier. TV's got a sweeps month. You know how nice that sounds? It's just a sweep. Radio is more like being dragged behind a truck. That's our sweeps 3 months. And I don't know when I can take vacation. And she says... Well, how about this? How about that? One of the problems with me is I don't like to take... I like vacation. I like to take time off. But I've been in radio for 27 years. And if you've been in radio for any length of time, you're never comfortable taking a vacation. Because vacation means change at the radio station. People get fired. And because of the dirtbags, and I mean as many nice people as I've encountered working in the broadcasting business, and I work for some of them right now, I've encountered just as many dirtbags who own, manage, and program radio stations. And I'm telling you, some of the lowest form of human life that you have ever stuck your nose into in your life. And these guys would do such sweet things as let you take your vacation and then can you on the day you come back. Stuff like that. Or I've even heard of this. Guy showing up to do his air shift, and there's somebody else sitting in his chair. Or what happened to me last year when I was taking my wife on a whirlwind vacation in Paris, France, a toilet I didn't want to visit in the first place. I come back to find out another company's bought the radio station I work for. Thank God it was this company. Oh, that was great. When I found out that Clear Channel, I felt great because it was touch and go there for a while. But seriously, in this business, this thing called radio, you can run into some of the smarmiest low-life scum, and how they're ever allowed to manage or program radio stations, it's anybody's guess, but it happens. And they're stupid, and they don't know anything about what you do for a living, and they think they got it all figured out, and they don't. And, you know, you're the guy that winds up taking to the shorts, not them. So you tend to get a little jumpy around vacation time because you don't know whether you want to take a vacation or not. And you don't know whether you're getting on the bad side of the boss if you're taking too many days off. Now, I work for great people, but still at all. You know, they got to answer to somebody who's got to answer to somebody who's got to answer to somebody. That's the whole thing. So I never like talking about vacation, and I never really completely relax. We took a vacation to Mexico 2 years ago, and I had to, like, get drunk every day because I knew the ratings were coming out, and I knew they'd already come out while I was on vacation, so I couldn't relax. And fortunately, when I got back home and I made the call, I said, well, what were our numbers like? They were fantastic. And I could have found that out Tuesday in Mexico if I just made the phone call and said, okay, what were the numbers? But I didn't do that. I stayed in Mexico, sweated it out, got arrested, thrown into a Bastille down there. I'm just kidding, but I should have been. I was in some faraway remote vacation area. So I say all of that to say what? I say that to say that I appreciate the good people that I work with. I'm sorry that I put you guys through what I put you through. But you know you're with a winner. Who else are you going to work for? You could go to work for Comb Over Boy, but what fun would that be? You talk about one joke. That guy's joke was funny and was over like years ago. So you don't want to do that. You going to work for that other empty suit? You're going to work for who? Nobody. You got to work for the kid. And so, because I'm such an exacting taskmaster, because I want things to be a certain way, I turn into a slime ball, and I really apologize for that. I'm doing it publicly and here on the airwaves. I'm apologizing, and I'm begging for your forgiveness. Will you please, Mike, will you forgive me and marry me? Oh, and Mike writes in F-Y-O-U. Thank you. All right. F-Y-O-U. Melissa's giving me the Italian salute, so everything's just nice here. Well, I'll tell you what I am going to do this year. I'm taking Christmas, New Year's, all of it off. And Craig writes on his board, if you're so sorry, why are you smiling? Well, because it's a self-effacing thing. All right, let me move on. Our CD is coming out. Let me move on from this smarmy, maudlin bullcrap that nobody's believing anyway. Our CD, which everybody's been working very hard on, is going to be out in the middle of November. And I'd like you to know that the Best of the Phil Henry CD 2000 number one rated Phil Henry Show. That's the name of the CD, because our show is number one rated. And along with that, we're going to have a picture disc. We are coming out with vinyl. We're going to have a vinyl picture disc that contains the exact same material that our CD will contain. So what I would suggest is that you buy a CD and you buy a picture disc, and then you have the picture disc to commemorate our 2,000-year album and CD, and you have the CD to listen to. And we're going to make the purchase of the Best of the Phil Henry Show number one rated CD and album even easier this year. We're going to have a 1-800 line for you. So that is going to make life so beautiful. And we'll also have our internet sales. And my thanks to my friend's place, to Elizabeth and everybody for setting that up. And all of the money, as you know, goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And what is that first word you wrote there, man? Vinyl is limited to 1,000 units, signed and numbered. That's right. We'll only have 1,000 units of vinyl, and then we'll have plenty of CDs, but we'll only have 1,000 units of vinyl. They will be signed. They will be numbered. It'll be a collector's item. It'll be a picture disc. It'll be a beautiful thing. And I think that you'll enjoy that. Then, of course, we have our casino night. All of this to benefit my friend's place. Our casino night on November the 4th in the year 2000. And that's going to be fun. We are going to be presenting Dwight Yoakam, who's a terrific singer-songwriter and really a very revolutionary artist. He's also an actor. He's also a filmmaker, and he's a writer, and he's a very, very good man and great man for being associated with us on My Friend's Place. Then we're also thinking of doing a one-man show sometime in January or February at a local theater. So for those of you who have not seen me do the show, and maybe you'd like to see me do a one-man show apart from the broadcast, we're going to do that with all of the different characters that we've created, that we've sweated over and slaved over, that we have theatrically presented to you day in and day out. That is, you know, this radio show being the hardest thing to execute, the most difficult thing to do. It would take a man like me to do it. This is not just a radio show. This is a theatrical presentation. And so it takes a lot of, it takes all the juice that I got, I'll tell you that. I don't know if anybody else could do it. So you could see it as a one-man show sometime in January and February. We will announce that. We also want to mention that we have some other cute things that we're going to be doing. And I wish I could be more specific, but it's really, really cool. One other thing that we've got planned. I haven't heard from Brian on that, by the way, but I am telling you, if we can pull that off, it's going to be very, very cool. And while I'm on the subject, I want to mention Joe Escalante of Kung Fu Records. If it wasn't for what? Well, the pool tournament's one thing, but there's one other cool thing that I didn't tell you about, Craig. I'll tell you when we get into the commercial. I'm sorry, guys. I can't tell you now. If I told you the nature of this business being what it is, there's 15 guys on the air in this town who'd steal the idea and do it before I could. It's a very cool idea, and we're going to be doing this, and we'll let you know. And then I want to thank Joe Escalante from Kung Fu Records. Joe has once again pressed our CD for free, and although he charged us for the vinyl, I'm kidding around. He has certain costs. But anyway, Joe Escalante of Kung Fu Records, a great man who, if it wasn't for him, then we'd have to, have to ante up the production costs ourselves for the CD. So we're also very grateful to you, Joe, for that, man. Thank you very much. And as far as my wife goes and our vacation stuff, you know what, honey? I'm not taking any more vacation time. I'm through talking about vacation time. I don't want to take any more time off. I just want to work until I die. They're going to have that debate coming up in a few minutes. We've got another hour to do here on the Phil Henry Show. And I mention that because I heard a local radio station here in L.A. doing a poll. Who do you think won the last debate? Was it Bush or was it Gore? Who do you think won? This was their big topic for the hour, okay? But I listened to it because I wanted to find out if my sense about this thing was true, that if you ask a talk radio audience who won the debate, who do you think they're going to say? I'm going to ask you, Craig, and then you, Mike, and then you, Melissa. Who do you guys think? Who would you say? Okay, I got Craig's vote. Okay, Melissa's vote. And Mike, who do you think they would say? Now, I didn't ask you who you thought would win, but who they said. Well, Craig was right. He said Bush. And you want to know why? Because only guys listen to talk radio, and only guys are going to vote for Bush.